And I'm having more faith in that every day. For getting together on every level. It's like one thing I've since this community has been together from the very beginning, I have heard more stories. You know, I mean, like Sanan sits here and tells us about this experience that happened in her classroom. I mean, that happened in school and at home and running home. Well, I had some things that happened. We all did, but I don't even think it compares. You know, Mujafi has, you know, known since you were, what, 18 years old? What she's going through, oh boy. I mean, the experiences that some of the women have related at different times, when you get past that, damn, you know, why do people have to go through this? You become angry. I think the experiences that I've heard about, right, and after I feel good that they got to this point, that they talk about them, that they come to each other, that they make friends, that they're going past it. Because half of the time, I don't know how you make it, because I don't think I'd be that strong if some of the things were laid on me in that way. You know, I've had things laid on me, but it didn't seem that dire. And when I think about it, I get angry. And that anger makes me stronger. The anger that I get from other people's, you know, sisters' experiences, and I have to say men, because when I really started having faith in something, I had faith in the movement, in the black movement of the 60s. If I ever use the word faith and working towards something through faith that we could achieve it, it was that. And I know what people went through then, you know. I know when they started opening up. And I knew when that sort of became fragmented, you know, and I didn't understand why it became fragmented totally. We blamed it on a whole bunch of different things. We blamed it on the men, blamed it on the women, they weren't strong enough, blamed it on, you know, everything, all right? But none of us had the knowledge to know exactly why it became as fragmented as it became. And, you know, I think that was like the heaviest hurt that I ever experienced, not knowing where to go from there. You know, leaving Baltimore, Maryland, coming to New York, you know, going back to my mother's house, and all the time not really knowing why, just knowing all these things started happening. And saying that I don't want to be bothered with no more groups, I don't have the energy for it, I have lost the faith, right? And then to come out as a lesbian, you know, that was a whole other thing that happened. And then again, you know, working with something, working with the community. I didn't have time to think if I had the faith to do it or not. When these sisters started talking to us about, and this happened to us, and this, you didn't have time to think if you had the faith to want to work with them, and work with each other, share the knowledge, you know, share the experiences. You just started going into it. But I must say, the experiences that were the heaviest, and that women come through to be able to talk about it, cry about it, share it, teach it, I think that's, you know, I think that's where you gain the most strength. I really do. Because when you come out of that, you know you've come, you know you can deal with some other things. You don't think they're gonna be as bad because you've already had some real bad.
Paid your dues.
That's right.
You know, I always talk about my mother, you know, in terms of what she gave me. My mother gave me what she was given, you know, plus a little more because she also developed herself to whatever length she could or would, you know, in terms of how afraid she was. And sometimes I see in people's eyes, you know, that they feel sorry for me that I went through this with my mother. And I say, but we've all gone through this, every one of us. It doesn't matter whether you say it and I don't. You know, the reason why we we are at the levels that we are at is because of the amount of pain and fear that was instilled in us from the time we were born in order for us to be correct within the society that we were supposed to take part in. And for me to talk now is for me to try and touch you with my words, because I cannot right now touch you physically and emotionally the way I want to. And eventually I know I will. But right now my words are the best and the easiest and the most secure and comfortable way of my reaching out to your feelings and saying, hey, my name is Sanen, this is what I'm like. You know, let me hear from you.
And it's all right.
And it's a nice feeling, you know, that I've gotten to the point of having faith. I'll tell you, I used to live in Miami, Florida. And I remember the first time I ran home and locked myself in the bathroom and looked in the mirror and said, so this is a nigger. Because I was walking down the street and some people started to scream and yell at me and call me a nigger. Well, because of the kinds of divisions that exist in this world, a lot of Puerto Ricans are not told that we're black. One thing, do you understand?
Yes.
You're Puerto Rican. Oh, what are you, Puerto Rican? Well, that's not a race. Mm-hmm. But it's easier to say Puerto Rican than it is to say black, because it's easier to make believe, even though you know different. It's easier to make believe that you don't belong to the group, the very group that is so oppressed in this world. So I ran home and I locked myself in the bathroom and I looked at myself in the mirror, and here I'm, you know, I was like 13 or 14. I was really big. And I said, so this is what they call a nigger. And my next thought was, well, why didn't my mother tell me? You know, why didn't she let me know so that I could learn how to deal with the world the way it is? But then the reality is that she herself had not developed that. You know, she had not allowed herself to feel the feelings so that she could touch me with her words, so that she could allow me to understand, you know, those pains that had dragged her through so much for so long. So that while I was in Miami, I spent 6 years there. And I remember one day sitting in the living room after having come home from school. My mother had put us in an all-white school before there was any integration. And it was hell in that school. And I sat there, you know. And I started to cry. And my mother looks at, my brother looks at me and he says, Sanen, what's the matter, you know? And my mother says, leave her alone. Who knows what she's done?
What you've done.
You know? And if she only knew that what had happened was so, I was just so tired of all the times, of all the hurt, of all the shoving and the shouting. And I didn't have enough faith in myself to say, Sanen, it's not you. Hey, it's all right. You know, this is the world that you're living in. This we are on Earth, you know? And it's a matter of they're giving it to you because that's how they were taught to give it to people who look like you. It has nothing to do with your being inferior. It has nothing to do with your being inadequate. It has nothing to do with your inability to think or anything. It has to do with ignorance, you know? It has to do with a group of people controlling and therefore keeping everybody else out of that control. That's, you know? And so now, to be able to be here and to say what at that point in time, you know, it was so devastating. I used to sit in the classroom with my sweater over my head. And people would think, well, there's something wrong with her, you know? Of course there was. I didn't want anyone to look at me, because anytime anyone ever did, how they reacted to me was so devastating that I didn't want to see it. It wasn't that I was crazy. I needed to stay away from it and not to have the faith in myself to say this, you know, and also to feel the feeling that I have the right to also cry for all the pain that I have gone through, and also have the knowledge and allow myself the kind of faith that I have to say, I'll work with it. It doesn't matter how many years I went through it. It doesn't matter how many times I'm going to have to go through this again. I still believe in me. And that little seed keeps on growing bigger and bigger. Because I can remember a time when I heard this tremendous shout from inside of me. And I was so shocked because I said, how could it be that I'm hearing a shout from within me? And what I was hearing was, I am in pain and I want to come out of this pain, you know? So out of that time, which was a long time ago, the seed of faith and of belief and a sense of self-worth is growing. And every time I can touch someone with my words and have some positive interaction, and even if it's not, just the fact that I dare to do it, even if you reject me, it's worth, you know, my it's worth a try, because I know that the next time it'll be easier.
I just want to say the proof that you have developed from out of your pain is that this one will never have to go through that. See, this is the seed that grew out of all that pain. And that's the faith that we have to have. For what we went through, let's protect these little sisters and little brothers that we know from that. That's Imani. That's the real faith in our future.
Next, the conversation dealt with a woman had seen another woman on the train abuse a child, and the group took up what various people felt about that.
You usually take out anger, fear, whatever those things are on whoever can be the victim. Who's the least powerful? If it's a mother, the child is the least powerful. If it's a man has to take it out on somebody, the woman is the least powerful. And I mean, we do that, you know? I mean, that's the other thing. We gotta take it out on somebody. We're gonna have to learn to direct it.
It's helpful when we really recognize the source of that too, that as people we will beat and whip to make to work. I mean, we wasn't slaves just because we felt like being slaves, you know? I mean, they had to beat us regularly, continually, often, brutally, in order to make us pick that cotton for nothing, you know? And then we have that legacy of physical and mental brutality toward each other, and that we've incorporated that stuff. But hopefully, I think with knowing the source of it, knowing that it's nothing innate, that woman is that way because she's incorporated that kind of behavior, and understanding that we are moving away from it. And what we probably have to do is acknowledge it, number one, acknowledge that it's there, and that it is historically a part of us, given how we've been oppressed, that we're oppressive because we've been oppressed, you know, and getting that information out there and getting those who are oppressive like that to understand they have these behaviors because they've been messed over, and that they have got to deal with it, or it's true, it'll get passed on from generation to generation. Frequently, we don't understand where it comes from. It comes from a very real thing, having been stolen and had the shit beat out of us for at least 10 generations. And 10 generations of whippings and starvation and mental cruelty, you know, mental cruelty that you speak of and the physical cruelty that we see does not go away with three or four generations of so-called freedom. You know, that unless we do something very clearly to deal with this brutality thing, I hope that's an issue that we deal with in SALSA. very soon, physical brutality, whether it be rape or beating children, etc., or physical abuse, that it's not going to go away in a few generations of so-called freedom unless we, who are abused, okay, and we've all been abused physically or mentally, set some clear program to stop it. I really think that we have to have faith that we can deal with this kind of issue. Because I'm glad you brought it up, Georgia, because it's one that really disturbs me, a physical and mental abuse and our heritage of that as have been being slave people. That's the source of it.
Mm-hmm. I think if we're adhering to all of the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and as far as what we want as a people, then we have to take the responsibility. I think you can have individual reactions to certain situations, but if we are adhering to the principles of Kwanzaa and we are thinking about the betterment of our group, we are thinking of the betterment of women, of people of color, and all oppressed peoples, then we will start thinking in a collective manner that we have to take the responsibility and not so much in an individualistic sense.
You still have to choose when is the best time to take the responsibility.
You have to do something else. I mean, we do things collectively, but I do what I do. I mean, I live my life, so I can say I will intervene. But that's all I can say. I can't say, I what I'm saying is that we have to be careful. We have to be careful saying we.
In terms of the question of violence, I think it gets back to the thing about faith and violence between black people, because I think part of it is having faith that that's not our way. You know, I mean, historically, that does not come from us. You know, I see violence as a very Western European, white mode of dealing, at least violence between supposedly loved ones or in the family. You know, and so I really have to have faith that that comes out of, you know, a warped experience, out of our oppression. And that's what enables me to deal with it, is knowing it's not about us. You know, and it's also, I mean, I think part of why it's increased is because losing that faith in our tradition of the extended family. I mean, that was a safeguard against abuse, against a child being either mentally abused or physically abused, because, you know, there were people around who felt like they had a right to advise you, and you felt like they had a right to advise you because it was a collective responsibility. It wasn't just somebody you saw on the street and you would never see again. It was people who lived in your community, people that were raising your children with you. And I think that's something we've really gotten away from, and it's been very destructive. And I personally feel we have to get back that faith, you know, and collective responsibility. And it goes back to the other principle.
I feel like what we're doing here is taking up where we left off hundreds of years ago. And that what we're doing is allowing ourselves to connect with the past with the intention of building towards the future where we are. And in order to do that, we need to talk, we need to express our pains, we need to not understand, we need to understand, and define and try and, you know, fail and so on, as a normal process of people throughout the ages growing and developing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, economically, intellectually. And it's beautiful, you know, to have that kind of experience. We must have gone through hundreds of years in this room in less than a few hours of saying, let's touch back, I gotta go back home, you know, and feel the strength of the home, of the strength of all of those millions of years from the time that it ever began,
you know, and say, I've got roots, I've got background, I've got a world of culture, of life, of blood, you know, of feeling that I have, that I am linked with, that no one can say does not exist. Because it took us very long to find out that we did have that. And we're now beginning to deal with that kind of information on a very basic level in terms of creating, you know, a unified force. And it's beautiful.
I'd like to say that it's about time that we stop accepting the fact that we're third world. We're not third world, we're first world.
I'd like to offer this cup of libation. First in the name of our ancestors, then in the names of our black gods and goddesses, then in the names of our children, and lastly in the names of ourselves. May we always reaffirm the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And may we always be together.
Harambe.
Let's give it to the children first.
Okay.
Harambe.
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 This has been The Lesbian Show, produced this evening by Donna Allegra. This program was the seventh night of Salsa Soul's Kwanzaa. If you're interested in Salsa Soul, the group meets every Thursday at 133 West 4th Street, which is between 6th Avenue and McDougal Street in the Village. The discussion starts at 7:30 and usually runs until 10. The topic this week will be friends and friendships and lesbian relationships. The new board of directors of Salsa Soul will also introduce themselves that night. Coming up this Sunday and every Sunday, Salsa Soul has disco music at Medusa's Revenge, which is at 10 Bleecker Street in the Village. The time for this Sunday evening disco is from 6 p.m. until 2 a.m. We always appreciate your feedback on our programs. You can write to us at WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. And our final note is musical. We opened the show with Miriam Makeba singing Zeni Zibabo. We heard Sweet Honey and the Rocks sing The Seven Principles, and we ended on the chant of Yemaya by the group Alive. My name is Donna Allegra. I hope you've enjoyed the program tonight. You're tuned to WBAI in New York.